Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Vendettas or Hat Butt Podcast for the reunion. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me this week is not Alasha, but I think we found a great replacement for her for the reunion podcast. It is Rorik. Rorik, how are you?
I'm well, Brian. I'm so excited to be doing this with you. I'm just honored to be called up to the plate.
Yes, you filled in about like a month ago, I think, when I was gone. So now me and Ellie did a little switch, but you're coming back for your second time around.
Just coming back for more.
Yeah, so you've been hopping around a little bit on the... You did... I know you do sometimes Haley and Amy's Bachelor podcast, and you're hopping on the MTV stuff. So you're doing the rounds on the RHAP world.
I know. It really just is like a harrowing portrait of somebody who watches far too much reality television.
Well, that's basically the common denominator for anyone who follows Rob as a podcast. So you're in the right place.
Thank you. I feel so welcomed here.
So just to remind people, so what is kind of your, I know, obviously you're from Survivor, but some people may not know that. So what is like kind of your backstory about how you got on Survivor and then how you started your Challenge fandom, just in case people may be hearing you for the first time?
Oh, gosh. So my Challenge fandom goes way back. I was not allowed to watch television as a child. Which, again, probably ties into the fact that I watch too much now. But once I started kind of consuming the MTV world, it was at a pretty insatiable rate. And I remember like really loving Real World San Diego with Cameron and Brad. Where she would like chase him around with a wooden spoon, if you recall. I really loved that.
My
friend group and I actually dressed up as like that cast for Halloween that year.
That's amazing.
When we were in like middle school. Yeah. So I've always like been a Challenge fan. I never considered going on that. Like I never would consider going on an MTV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided to basically send in a tape online to Survivor. And I was like, I'm just going to send it into the ether. And if I get a response, I get a response. And at like every point of casting, I was like, oh, here's where it ends. They're never going to call me here. And they just kept calling and it obviously worked out. And it was a great experience. I'm so glad I did it, even though, you know, obviously we all hope that we're going to win and that only goes to one person. But I, you mm-hmm. know, I wished I had done better, but what are you going to do? I still am very, very glad that I had that time.
And now you're podcasting with me. So obviously things are going very well.
just upgrading every day.
Exactly. So this is an interesting podcast to do for the reunion because, I mean, I try to stay positive and like upbeat with how the Challenge does this stuff. But the reunions, they always seem to like kind of disappoint. And I don't know about you. I was not too thrilled with the two-part reunion, especially the way they dragged out the winner and all that stuff to the very, very, very end. What were your overall thoughts on the reunion, kind of the structure of how they broke it out for this season?
By the time they announced the winner, I was like, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
I could not have cared less. And also, I, you know, we can sort of work out how we feel about the puzzle as an equalizer at the end. Mm-hmm. But a puzzle, like Survivor knows this, like a puzzle is not great TV.
Right.
And so that's why like it's always sort of the end and they kind of, you know, fast forward through it. And what you get the most of on Survivor of the Challenge is like the running around portion. And this like I just like didn't, you know, like watching that kind of final segment where Kara gets it right. And sorry, spoiler alert, where she gets it right and like runs up the turret. I was like, oh, I guess she swapped the things she needed to swap. Okay. You know, it didn't feel like it made sense. It didn't feel dramatic. She tried to make it like a feminist moment. I was just so tired by the end.
Yeah, I'm with you. When she like won and started running off, I didn't realize she won. I thought, oh, she got it wrong. She's running back in to check it again. And then they cut to her doing like a voiceover talking about how she's doing this for all the weirdos in the world. I'm like, what? I guess she won. I don't know. There was no like there was no sense of like finality to it where she like
totally
when she finished it, it's just like, oh, OK, I guess Cara won. Good for her. Whoopee.
Yeah, exactly. I was really confused, too. She was like, whoop. Yeah. Woo! And she was like making these excited noises. It was very weird.
Especially because like I think it was like 5 minutes before that in the reunion, she's like bawling her eyes out about how she's not like a horrible person. And then it's like, oh, actually she won this season. Like that's why like the flow of like, them cutting the end off and putting it at the end of the reunion. It's just it's just so baffling. It just takes away any momentum you want to have. Like, I don't get what they gain from it other than, I guess, trying to get people to watch the full 2 hours, 2 weeks. But it's like, yeah, is that really worth it?
Yeah, that's got to be it. No. And also that whiplash of, like, the her crying to her winning was just exhausting.
Yeah, like I wanted to be happy for her because this is, I mean, it's a great, like, this is a somewhat difficult finals. The first time they've ever had like one winner, which they said many, many, many times over the course of this reunion. But at the end of it, I was like, I just didn't even care anymore. I was like, I guess next season will start soon and I'll worry about that when they probably do this again for the second straight season.
And I also, you know, to be fair, I think you and Allie, I think, talked about this. I don't watch the challenge for the winner.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very different show from like a Survivor or a Top Chef, you know, like I'm not really in it for the winner. I'm kind of in it for the journey. The destination like isn't really the payoff.
Oh, 100%. And if Kara won or if Zach won or even if somehow if like Kyle or Kayla won, like to me, that doesn't change anything about how they did the finals. More just like the annoyance. This is kind of like what Allie and I started to really get into after the sort of finale, whatever the hell that was, about how it doesn't matter who wins, but it's just an annoyance that they do this to us, that we invest like this full hour in a final, we get to the very, very end, and they're like, actually come back in 2 weeks and we'll tell you what happens.
Yeah. And also, like, at least in Survivor, you know, people have a feeling who won, but depending on how Final Tribal went and who your jury is and their willingness to talk, you don't 100% know. Like, they've all been sitting on this. I'm sure they all knew.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. They definitely all knew. Like, I can't imagine. I mean, definitely the finalists all knew. Then I assume Kara and everyone else were like, everyone doing the reunion was not surprised to see Kara win and holding up the check.
Exactly.
So, but it's interesting about how looking back on like a Survivor or whatever, because Ashley Badazowicz says, was the winner's edit non-existent this season? So looking back, was there a winner's edit for Kara at all?
I guess not. I don't even, the thing is like, because I think we view the winner's edit in like a certain way, especially if you're like a devout Survivor fan, because of the like Survivor is about like that final tribal pitch that like the story has to make sense in that you have to believe that everybody else thought this person was worthy. And so like the editors have to bring you on that journey. Whereas because the winner is determined by a final challenge in the challenge, you don't have to believe, you don't have to like buy into that winner beyond congratulations, you physically performed.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point also, because this is one of the rare kind of reality shows where there's not any type of vote at the end. I mean, most of them, I guess maybe some like the food competitions probably have them. I don't really watch those. But for the most part, it usually is a voting at the end as opposed to this, where it is, like you said, just if you get to the end, then it's just a matter of you competing and earning the win as opposed to people rewarding you with the win. So that's interesting about how to construct the season differently from an editor's standpoint.
Yeah.
So, and then because I mean, I was thinking of anyone who had like the quote unquote winner's edit, it would have been Zach. I thought like he had a lot of clips about him saying like he's kind of like the most dominant person here. Everyone's saying like Zach is like looking like the favorite to win. And Kara, I mean, she really didn't have much. She wasn't in control for any of the game, really. She was like, I think she got in her first the Troika thing at the end. And I mean, people were always gunning for her. So it is interesting to kind of frame it in because the challenge is just such a different reality show than most other shows.
Yeah, it's incredibly different. And see, it's funny you said Zach. I very much thought you were going to say Kyle. That's his name, right? The British guy?
Yeah, Kyle.
I just had like this weird, like my mind was like, oh my God, is that even his name? Because well,
we have him on satellite for this portion of the reunion.
It's so funny, dude. When the first episode went on and they were like, and we've got the Brits on satellite Skype. I was like, oh my God, Brian is going to love this because this is how he wanted people to come in for that final challenge.
I know. They did it a week later.
Heard you.
And they couldn't even get everyone. Freaking, like, what is Joss possibly doing that he can't, like, hop on a Skype? This would even be the different location to be all on a Skype call. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, what did they say? Where was he? Like, in New York or something?
I think they were just
in LA.
No one gave a real answer. I think they were joking that he's out in LA, like on a workout beach or whatever. But no one had like a real answer. So I'm very curious as to why he wouldn't show up. So there was no real explanation at all.
I don't know, because my understanding is he's on the next cast, so it's not like he's like excommunicated.
I mean, he was like a decent part of the season. I mean, he had one of like, I mean, they brought in the Vendetta who knocked him out, and they wouldn't even bring in the actual person on the show. So very odd.
Yeah.
Or the Mercer, not the Vendetta. Yeah.
Sure. I got you.
So what did you, so I mean, I guess we can kind of do this beat by beat, but it's kind of like, I mean, the reunion itself was all over the place. So this can kind of be all over the place too. I guess, well, you start, who do you think came off the best, I guess, is a good way to just start this. Who came off the best between the two parts?
Ooh, I mean, coming off the best on an MTV show is like a race to the bottom. I actually thought Cam was decent. I really want to use thotting and bopping in my day-to-day life. That's an unbelievable phrase.
Yeah. By her.
Yeah, that's great. I hope that like she really needs to milk that.
Do you, I'm very unhip. So what do you think it means?
I mean, I think it means like being a hoe and going from like guy to guy.
Okay.
Right? Because thotting is like being a hoe, and bopping, I guess you're bopping around from like man to man.
I hope that's the new like politic and going the next season, the next thotting and bopping. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Cam came off well. It's, you know, it's funny. I thought going in, I thought Devin would actually be able to do well in this reunion because, you know, he had such a good season. He had the big win against Bananas, and he just came across like such a like overly arrogant douchebag throughout the entire 2 hours.
The thing is, though, I do think that, like, you know, it's like on The Bachelor when the people who were background characters come out on the Women Tell All so hot, and you're like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? And it's like, oh, some producer riled you up and told you like, I'll put you on Bachelor in Paradise if you stir shit. And so I think that's like, this is Devin's game now, where like this is why he's going to get included.
Yeah, to play into the, and Bananas kind of, I mean, that was one of the good lines I thought he had when he wasn't trying to like scream over and act all tough, was like, he was like, you know, anytime I go against you, you win just by the basis of me calling attention to you. And I don't think Devin would have a good answer for that, because I think that's probably the most accurate depiction of their dynamic.
Yes, I agree.
So that's an interesting duo that I'm sure, I don't remember the cast list. I would assume Devin's back on again next year, next season. But I would hope so.
I think
so,
he is. I remember he is. I was looking at Vevmo the other day because I was talking to somebody about like Big Brother people on the show.
Okay. So one of the other first segments we get is a little more into the Leroy and Tony kind of blindside and stuff like that. And Leroy kind of just basically says everything he said on the show, which is, you know, he's just pissed at Tony for not being upfront with him, that he wasn't pissed that he was being voted in. He was just pissed that he wasn't giving the heads up, and he was giving like a BS reason. Where did you fall on that dynamic of Tony blindsiding Leroy like that?
Oh man, I think like this stuff is all like so tough, where you know, it's, I think, was it Devin in the second reunion that said something to Bananas like, it's all fair play until it happens to you?
Yeah.
And like, I do kind of agree with that like, it's very easy to talk about what you would have done if you were in that position, where Bananas was like, Tony, I would have given you a heads up. Like, would you have? We can all sit here and pretend, but that didn't happen.
Yep,
and so I don't know, like, we can write whatever story we want. I guess, like, I just think, like, hate the game, not the player. And like, again, Tony is doing what he needs to do to keep coming to these things.
Yeah,
lot of child support to pay for.
Yes. I mean, good for him, as they made a point to bring out that there was a few like rumors and hints, but it seemed like Tony was faithful during the season. So I guess, you know, good job, Tony. Way to be like actually a decent person for the first time.
Yeah, way to do like the baseline of what was expected of you.
The bare minimum, but you know, gotta start somewhere. That's where we're going with Tony, but good job by him. But it seemed like a lot of the fighting about blindsides and all the stuff for this season was, it all came back to like people not wanting to give a heads up going into the voting. And I feel like anyone who was knocking me in the heads up. It's like, you know, this is part of the game. And anyone who's on the other side of it is like, oh, if I was going in, why don't you just be like up front and be like a friend with me? But I feel like anyone on each side of it is always going to say the opposite side. And they're, that's like the wheel that's going to go around and around and around.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's what, I mean, we saw that with Leroy and Tony. We saw that with, I think we saw that with Kyle and Corey as well, about like, you know, you said you weren't going to vote for me. Why don't you just give me a heads up when you actually voted for me? But I think it's just, I mean, so for a lot of these people, they just, as much as they like conflict because it brings drama, I think the voting conflict they like to avoid because you could try to hide it as much as you can until you actually have to face the music. So they try to avoid that as much as possible, I think.
What would be the purpose of knowing before? Other than, I guess, trying to sway the other people the other way? Is it that you're trying to mentally prepare yourself? Is it like, what's the argument for knowing before?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I guess the way they would spin it is like, yeah, give me a chance to get my head on straight going into an elimination so I can, I guess, mentally prepare whatever that does.
That's stupid. And, that is so stupid. Yeah. Just pretend you're going in. Just prepare for the worst.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest thing to do. And for so, like, the number one word you always hear out of a reality show contestant on MTV is like, respect me, like show some level of respect. That's the common theme. And somehow telling them they're going in beforehand is showing respect in their minds. But that is like a very thinly veiled argument also.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
So, and then one of the other kind of highlights from the first, or quote unquote highlights, is with Brittany and Marie getting into it about, and I think Miz, we could talk about how Miz did throughout this reunion also, but it seemed like a lot of these arguments are about complete and utter nonsense, and a lot of the ones that are about nonsense were focused on Marie, between this one with Brittany, Pizzagate, which is also about like just total nonsense. So I guess we could take it from Marie's standpoint. So how did you, where did you stand on Marie? Because everyone knows that I'm not a big Marie fan. So where do you stand on Marie?
No, I'm with you on not liking Marie. Also, her face is different. She did not, it took me a minute to recognize her. Uh-huh. I noticed this more acutely in the second one. Whenever the Miz was talking, they cut everybody's mics. And so, like, whenever he was talking, they were all still trying to settle arguments and talk over him, but they had been, like, they had taken down the levels on all the contestants, and so you could only hear them, like, in their normal speaking volume. And it was just like, it made it very confusing. Anyway, it's just like a general comment.
It's funny. I did notice that on some of the like the Skype interviews with Melissa and Kaylee, that whenever they cut back the Miz, you can clearly see that they sometimes they're only like 30 seconds clips, and like they were still talking like in the background of Miz, and you can see them trying to like move on. Cause I guess I would imagine probably those Skype things went on for a while. I wonder, maybe they were having issues and stuff like that about like getting everyone on the same page, because it's probably a lot harder when they're not all there to get them to be quiet and talk at the same time. So I'm thinking those segments probably went on even longer than some of the normal ones did.
Yeah, gotta be. Anyway, yeah, back to Marie. Sorry.
Yeah, back to Marie. So you're not a big fan.
I'm not. What is she trying to do? Why is she like this?
I think for her, she came in thinking she could do well as a competitor, and now she realized she can't. So her basis has to be getting involved in drama and starting to stir shit up and get involved in people's business and go about that way to keep her name relevant. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. And like, I'm all for drama. It, like, that's why I think the challenge is good and different from other competition reality shows. And generally, like, I'm not team any individual, I'm team drama. But there's something like ugly about what she says and does, and it like bothers me in a way that stuff the other people do doesn't bother me, even when I don't even care for the target of her ire. Which is like a weird, I don't know what it is.
No, I agree. There's just something about her. It's like a mean thing to say, but there's just something about her that I agree. It just like rubs me the wrong way. You know, a lot of these people do obviously do things to get involved in drama and to keep their name relevant. But when she does it, it just seems so clearly like forced about it that like there's just no way this could be real or she would normally be acting like this if this was just like, you know, no, whatever, no cameras or no like acting like a normal person. That there's just something about it that I agree that just kind of rubs you the wrong way.
And there's also like a justification on her part, like with the pizza thing, like just admit you were doing something dumb. Don't say like, yeah, I was making a point, like stop it. You weren't. And
yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. She can't just brush things off or admit to a fault or whatever. So she always has to defend things to the grave.
Yeah.
So another interesting, this is like, it's so annoying that, again, this is like two parts because I have to like specify. So from the first part also, the Kaylee Nelson dynamic I thought was very interesting because I did not anticipate.
Okay, Kaylee is the worst. Going,
yeah, Kaylee, as to people coming off bad, Kaylee did not have a good night. She had,
oh my God, you know, she sucks.
Screaming, yeah, she was not great. Her getting into with Jemmy, and I thought even her getting here with Nelson, I'm not even the biggest Nelson fan, but I thought he came across great compared to how
totally
Kaylee.
Totally agreed. Totally agreed.
So to give a little bit, so it seemed like when off the show, I guess they sort of tried to continue it for a little bit, but Kaylee contends that Nelson was like a crazy person, called her like 20 times trying to get in touch with her, and Kaylee just kind of cut him loose from there. And Nelson just, I thought he handled himself well, baby. Like, you know what? We're not in a good place, and that's it. And Kaylee just always, as whether it was Nelson or with Jamie or other people, just really beats down the bush of like trying to like attack people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do think that whenever there have to be sort of like, you know, think pieces on this type of phrase. But whenever you have to resort to, you weren't my boy/girlfriend, why do you care? You've lost.
Yep.
Yeah, like that is the crappiest argument.
And then I was either in the first part or the second part. I don't remember the timing of the arguments, but then Nelson basically flipped it around and used it on her, because then there was an issue. Yes. Like, there was a Nelson, I think, either hooked up with Jemmy or someone he hooked up with, apparently with someone early on. And then Kaylee was like, what the hell was that? And Nelson's like, well, we weren't really together, so what's the big deal? And then Kaylee just,
yeah,
calls him like,
I feel
loser,
like that was like at the very end of part one. And it was like a bit of a mic drop moment where they, yeah, either like ended it or cut to a commercial or something.
If Nelson's winning a war of words with you, then you're in bad shape. So that's where Kaylee,
yeah,
is.
So what's very funny is that like I'm looking, I have notes on part one and part two, and I'm reading, mm-hmm, my part one notes, and I'm like, what was I talking about here? Because it feels like so long ago.
So, and it's all just like a big, big bush. Because even some of the topics, like they talked about, I feel like they talked about Devin versus Bananas in both parts in like different ways. And
yes, definitely.
It was all, there was no flow. If anything, why can't they just start, as this podcast is probably also, but that's because it got to fit with the theme of the reunion. Why couldn't they just start with like the beginning of the season and work their way through? Or even like with certain people, it was just all over the place.
It was a mess.
So what about the most, to quote Bananas, the most entertaining part of the season? How did you think they handled all the note stuff?
Oh my God, Bananas, like, we don't care. I mean, I do believe in the power of psychological warfare. I don't think what he did is a bad strategy at all. Mm-hmm. I just also think, like, I just think he is way too over-adulated on this show, and I don't think that's like a new or interesting take. But also I did write down that they introduced Bananas as the most successful player of all time, and I would like to discuss the validity of that statistic, because his like efficiency rating is pretty bad. He has competed on 16 things. He has won 6 of them. Durrell has won 4 of 8.
And what's not only that, I think now, given this win for Kara, I would have to look up. I feel like she may surpass him in terms of money. Like, I know he got a lot from the Sarah win, but I think this is the most anyone's ever won individually. So she might have the most money now. I'll have to do a little fact check on that, but doing off the top of my head, I think she's either right there, like right there with him in terms of most money.
Yeah, I would bet that that's true.
So yeah, Bananas has the most wins, and I guess that's probably where they're going with the best ever. But yeah, in terms of efficiency, like Darrell's better, Landon's better. There's been a few people with multiple wins that are obviously competed far less than Johnny Bananas.
Oh, Kara's. Oh, no. Kara's only won twice. Sorry. But she's made the final. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. She's made the final six times, six won times. Twice. So that's not okay. that great. But and she has won in total $602,000. And then let's see about Bananas. Sorry, this is like great.
No, I'm so curious.
He's won $685,000.
Okay, so he's still got her it's, by
he's got her, but
close.
Not by a lot.
No, it's close. It's closer than I feel like it's also, closer than people think because of just how much Kara won with this one.
I was gonna say though, it's actually astronomical because he's won six and she's won two, and she's only $83,000 behind him.
Yeah. Yeah, and she won one of those Champ Stars things, and I don't know if they got anything, but I feel like that all went to the charity. But
yeah,
I guess
they do have a, they had like a, they on this, I'm looking at the specific like fandom, like powered by Wiki mm-hmm. challenge thing. It does have right. how much money they've raised from their,
gotcha,
for their charities.
Okay,
as a separate statistic.
So maybe if Kara wins next season, I wonder if that'll come up. And I was losing his money crown. Cause I mean, they brought up how much Kara won, but they told us before the final how much people could win, but they didn't even bother to mention like people's final take home money for second through fourth. So just again, how little they actually cared about the result of the final.
Yeah.
So we find out Brad and Brittany are still very much together.
So, I mean, you know as Instagram would reveal.
Yeah, Brittany. I think this is the second part, but when they asked Zach about him calling, having Brad. Brad's having like a midlife crisis, and he starts it off by saying that Brad like just got out of a thing. I love Jemmy being like, "Oh, you mean like a marriage with kids?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, a little more serious than like you know normal breakup in a MTV reality world."
Yeah, carries a little more weight typically,
but just a little bit. But Brittany, I mean, she said she met Tori, she met the kids, so I mean, it seems like it wasn't just a one-off fling for them too. So I guess that's good for them.
Sure, why not?
I don't, and I think they're the only couple to kind of remain standing. Kara and Kyle. Kara says they're very much not together because Kyle lives in another country. Obviously, Nelson and Kaylee aren't together. Seems like Bananas got around after he was eliminated. He had
on people.
The two UK girls, whatever he has going on with Natalie. So he made his rounds. He has the new single Bananas.
Yeah. Ugh, whatever.
Well, what about Nicole coming across in this final? I thought when her back and forth with Kara, I think that was in the second part. I think that's the second part. I think that was probably her worst look about trying to like fend off that she still is like on Kara's level, that they're very much even, that she's not better than everyone, which is a weird take to have knowing Kara's just about to be announced as the winner of the season. So it's kind of a weird move for Nicole.
Yeah, I don't understand a lot about Nicole. Why was she wearing a headband?
Yes.
For example. And I think that, like, I guess I always wonder. So, like, you see this happen a lot with the Real Housewives, where the first season, the first couple seasons even, they're trying to find their place, whether that's kind of, like, trying to topple the top women or take them on or try to like set up a new little alliance of friends, whatever. But then at some point they all start to buy their own bullshit. And so I always wonder with like these people, how much of it are they buying their own bullshit? And with Nicole, like I think she really buys it. Whereas like Devin, I think is putting on an act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I agree with that. I think Devin's smart enough to know where he stands, and he knows that he has to play up the dynamic of Bananas and knows that if he ever did get like a physical thing that it wouldn't go well. Like he knows his place and he knows how to play it up for the benefit of him. I agree. I think Nicole thinks that she could be Kara in some things, but I think she genuinely thinks that she could win any soul competition or any moment at any time.
Yes, totally.
So, and that's and probably, I mean, that's not the case. So
I totally agree. And I think that is, and you know, to be fair, I think it's an attitude that's really common across all reality participants and across shows, where, you know, she can tell herself, if I hadn't sprained my ankle, I would win that finale. The same way as, like, just recently, Bradley thinks if he makes the merge, he wins. And, you know, like, we all just, like, have to, like, tell ourselves stories at the end of the day. And I think that, like, how about you just accept the way that it played out and move on with your life?
Yeah. I mean, if Nicole thinks she would ever win that puzzle, I don't know what, like, world she's living in, but I mean, that's just, it's just not,
there
reality.
Is no way she solves a puzzle.
Yeah. So that's always, just like with Leroy and swimming, her with puzzles like that, there's just some things that are always going to hold certain people back, and that they just, it's kind of just their Achilles heel that I don't know if they'll ever be able to get over.
Yeah. I mean, I think Leroy learns to swim faster than she learns how to do a puzzle.
That should be like a competition, like Leroy having the swims versus Nicole doing a puzzle, which one completes it
first.
That'd
be really funny.
That could be a fun theme for a challenge. But so what did you make? So this was also one of the themes of the second part, and kind of ties in with what Nicole was saying about Kara having this perception of thinking that she's better than everyone, that she just has this, like, self-righteous act to be here. So where do you, like, do you think that's accurate? I've seen, like, what do you make of that dynamic with the girls and Kara?
Oh, gosh, I'm not going to remember who said this, because I think it happened in the first part and I didn't make a specific note of it. But I remember thinking it was a really good point. And I think it might have been Cam, actually, feeding into why I think she came off well. Mm-hmm. I think she said something to the effect of, just because you're a vet, it doesn't give you a free ride. And you can't fault us rookies for wanting to take you out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good point.
Yeah. And so I think that they're lumping in two things with Kara, where they might be saying, like, you think you deserve to coast because of some sort of seniority. And then they're also saying, you think you're better than everyone else. And those are two different things. And if they want to argue that she thinks she deserves a ticket to the final the day that she sets foot in the house, maybe that's arguable. I don't know if the footage supports it, but, like, there's so much we don't see. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Why not? But I don't think she thinks she's better than other people. I really don't, because Kara actually strikes me as somebody who is, like, pretty deeply self-conscious.
Mm-hmm.
She does not, like, she talks a big game about, like, women and weirdos and, like, loving herself. But, like, I think she strikes me as somebody who probably does, like, has suffered from, low self-esteem.
Yeah. I totally agree. I just can't, maybe she does it subconsciously and that the girls pick up on it, but I can't see her actively going out and being like, oh, I'm so much better than you, Cam. I'm so much better than you, Jamie. I'm so much better than you, Nicole. Like, look at me. I win. I do all this stuff. That doesn't strike me as what Kara would do. But the interesting thing is, like, I mean, she could do it. Like, she is clearly the best female competitor going whenever, like, a Laurel is not in it. Like, the consistency factor for her. And, I mean, this is her second win. She is consistently making finals. And she points out, it's not like she's always giving in. Like, she usually has to go in eliminations a lot. Like, I think it's more of, like, a recent thing where she kind of hasn't had to do that. But I mean, if between those two points, whether she deserves, like, a free ride to the final or she's better than everyone, she should stake her claim and, like, I'm better than them, because, I mean, she is better than them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, history just proves that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an interesting thing going into now to next season. If more of the women kind of band together after this and being like, okay, now we all have to come together to get Kara out. And if she's ostracized even more, like, she doesn't always handle that very well socially. So that could be an interesting to see it plays out in the next season.
So I also think this about her, coinciding with probably some self-consciousness, is that, this show has revealed, I think, that she doesn't relate very well to other women. And when one woman is sort of, like, not getting along with other girls, I think that can really be either in some cases correctly assessed, but in a lot of cases misunderstood. And so I think it's entirely possible that maybe just because she wants to kind of, like, be on her own or do her own thing, it gets interpreted as, oh, you must think you're too good for us.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that, it's interesting because we saw that with Kayla, I think it was last season, where all she would really want to do was hang out with Jenna. And then when Jenna was gone, she was kind of just all by herself. And I mean, we saw them confronting her, being like, you know, like, what do you think? You're better than us. You won't confront us. She's like, no, I'm more of like an intrusive person. I kind of keep to myself. So that is interesting kind of similarities between Kayla and Kara. And here we actually see Kayla, the one confronting Kara about thinking that she's better than everyone.
Yes, because, you know, the people on this show are just so good at reflection and empathy and just killing it.
Yep, yep, yep. So I guess one of the other big talking points from this, I think there was the second part, was the Melissa and Kayla stuff about Melissa. I think it was Melissa and Kayla. I guess Melissa and Kaylee both supposedly spreading the rumor about Kayla and Tony hooking up. And then that just led to one giant shouting match between Melissa and Kayla, where I don't think any word was really understood. So I think, let me know if you think differently. There's just another scene of just Melissa and Kaylee just coming off as not great, and just all-time pot stirrers.
They are completely psychotic. I mean, there's just like no other way to say it. Like, I can't understand. I have such trouble like comprehending that behavior. Like, the thing is, I think that the American challengers are obviously, you know, to a certain degree, willing to let their hair down and get drunk and behave in, you know, ways that a lot of us would not want on camera. So they definitely do have a certain comfort level. But these Brits, I think, are like sort of like Jersey Shore level of like ignoring the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And they just seem really willing to like go crazy. Like, they just like go nuclear. And I hope it makes like for good TV, but you couldn't pay me to live with them.
Yeah, I think that's always like kind of the underrated thing, that what leads to some of these fights is, you know, what it's actually like to live with these people and then have to deal with them all the time. And I feel like that seemed to be the case with Kaylee and Melissa, because from the show, it didn't seem like they were doing, like, I mean, I guess that they were like, they seemed a little annoying, but it didn't come across as like so overwhelmingly bad. But when the entire house kind of turns against them, it always leads to like, okay, well, what are we really missing and what are we not seeing about what they're doing to cause all this anger coming at them? And that's what it kind of just seems like. They're just not great people to be around like all the time at all.
Yeah, I mean, living with people under stressful circumstances is hard enough. And when they are difficult people, it is. I mean, I genuinely can't imagine like living with Joe for 9 days was hard enough.
Exactly. So I brought it up earlier, but I want to get your thoughts on how The Miz did as a host. What would you judge The Miz's performance throughout these two parts as?
I don't think he is very, what I would really enjoy is like, there are so many opportunities for follow-up questions and he doesn't take them. He just like lets it play out and goes like, wow, a lot of emotion there. Okay, moving on. Like, this is what's next. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, there was like a lot there to explore further. And I think that like, he just sort of has this agenda and he has to check the boxes. And maybe if that's like what his job description is, then I guess he's doing it. But I would much prefer, like, instead of trying to get to so many fights, how about we kind of like dig into a couple really interesting ones?
I totally agree. And I think one of the biggest faults is them kind of doing the reunion all with everyone at the same time. I think you're going to try to do like a full 2-hour dive into the season. You'd be much better off bringing out 4 or 5 people at a time and just having them all discuss whatever the situations that they have throughout the season, and then bringing in a new crop rather than having, you know, feeling like you have to get like Shane to comment on like something that like has nothing really to do with him at all, as opposed to actually letting the people involved talk more about it. I think that would be almost a much better way to handle these reunions, when there's like 30 people on the cast and you're trying to get to as many people as possible to get them to chime in. So let's just focus on the 4 to 5 people that are involved in that specific situation.
Yeah, and then also like bring in the mercenaries and just like add a bunch of more people to it.
Yep.
I mean,
they had no purpose.
None. And like, I wasn't sure what I wanted, you know? I wasn't sure if I wanted them to get involved or not.
I mean, Jordan, I mean, going back to the car stuff, Jordan certainly got involved. And this was going back to his last season where he just, like, didn't want to run a final with him. Actually, Jacob Brambett had a question about that. He said, what is Jordan's deal with Cara to say that she has improved herself is straight up offensive, especially to someone who's a top five female in challenge history? I mean, yeah, this is a theme for Jordan that there's just something about Cara that rubs him the wrong way.
Yeah. Did they have an altercation of some kind ever?
Nothing like that specific, other than I think it was either last season or two seasons ago when Jordan was like, I just don't want to run a final with Cara. And then Cara took great offense to that, being like, what did I, like, I'm a great competitor, da 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 da. And like, Jordan, like, would much rather run with Tori.
I think Cara has really thin skin.
Yes.
And I do think that, like, she's identified herself that way. And so it makes her a target to that feedback. And so almost like it's to her detriment that I think she, you know, cried at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Jordan's problem is.
I think Jordan's just someone who always knows how to get the people. And it's so clear, like, that button really gets the Cara. And he just knows how to push it and really just get under her skin. I don't know why he chooses to do that, but like, he knows how to do it and he just constantly does it.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, this is like a digression. It's really none of our business and I understand that, but I am utterly perplexed and annoyed by his social media relationship with Tori. I seek to understand it.
I thought I was actually listening to the podcast while watching Reunion, because they were doing like what Ali does with like the Twitter segments. They were reading like the Twitter and they were reading all of it. It was very Twitter filled Reunion a little bit.
Oh, very.
I think they even brought in some of the tweets that we covered, like with the Melissa.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I know we 100% covered that. I think we covered the Brad and Zach Twitter feud. So it was like, you know, you can get that stuff weeks in advance if you listen to our podcast. So.
I will say I really enjoy that. And something like a peeve of mine about the Survivor finale is that Survivor seems like not to want to acknowledge that a world is occurring outside mm-hmm. of the taped show. And I like the Housewives reunions acknowledge it as well as like all the TLC shows like 90 Day Fiance, like all these places sort of say like, wow, this stuff had like, your exit press or your Twitter or your Housewives blog, like all this stuff yep. exists and is a part of the world and is affecting like our relationships to each other within the cast. Like, exploit that. That's good TV.
Yeah, because I mean, they can avoid, like, if they wanted to, they can avoid it all they want, but it clearly has an impact on these people's lives and then consequently on the show. So, I mean, it is one of the avenues that MTV is doing very well at is swerving into the social media world of embracing the feuds that happen on Twitter and bringing them into the show, because like they clearly do have an impact. So I'm glad they are embracing that.
Yeah, totally. Let me open up my notes. What are other random thoughts that I had?
So, I mean, we got... So, go ahead.
Corey needs to shut up full time. I just want him to be quiet.
He was trying to take credit for people going after Bananas.
He was like, people have finally understood my vision. Shut up.
Right. you get no credit for other people successfully doing something that other people besides you have tried to do also, but you just suck at.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he can go away.
Also, I am really just exhausted by the misuse of the word vendetta. A person is not a vendetta. You can have a vendetta against a person, but it has been used incorrectly this entire season, and it's just infuriating.
Yeah, it's funny. I think someone else who Ali did a podcast with one time brought that up, and since he brought it up, it really was like that glass-shattering moment. It's like, yeah, like this, they're treating the word vendetta as a synonym for rival. It's like they're like similar, but like they're different, like contexts and stuff. You don't just pick up a vendetta. You can pick up a rival. Yeah. That's a different word, though.
Exactly.
And yeah, they anyway. Were they never brought it up in any context like that. I was waiting for one person to be, I thought like someone like Shane or something like that at the reunion would call people out for like misusing it. But if he did, they unfortunately didn't show it.
Yeah. I wrote, I don't care about the Zach Brad thing. I wrote bananas. That was good to see.
That was good to see Zach and Brad at least handling things somewhat maturely and writing things off as a joke on Twitter. That was good.
I wrote, I really hate Kaylee. In quotes, I'm not a vicious person. You were literally removed for violence from Big Brother.
Yep. Like, what about how they handled, because you know the one argument I thought Kaylee could have come across well in was when like they brought up the Jemmy and Kaylee, Kaylee and Kayla are very annoying to have both on the season, but when Jemmy and Kayla,
I said the same thing when I talked to Allie.
Yeah, it's this very like, this annoying. There's too many similar names. But when they were bullying her and got her kicked off the show, I thought this, or when Kaylee chose to leave, I thought that could have been an argument where she could have handled herself well. And of course, she went straight down to like calling Jemmy like a whore and a slut and Kayla all this stuff. And she just doesn't know how to like calmly win an argument.
No, definitely not. I like work with, I work with Kit. One second. Sorry.
No problem.
Guys. I'm sorry. Okay. Desi and Jessica are here.
Oh,
and
nice.
They're talking and loud, and I was like, you guys have to shut up.
Do they watch the challenge?
No.
Okay.
That'd be really funny to get their takes. Desi, do you watch the challenge? Okay, never mind. We were going to get your takes if you guys had a take. That's fine. Anyway.
So close.
Sorry. So we were saying the one time Kaylee like came off reasonable. Oh, so I work with like kids and families and kids with like behavioral issues and autism and various like other things. And when kids are like escalating or dysregulated, it's often a parent's response to similarly get dysregulated. And so our phrase is always like, when your kid is getting like bigger, louder, further, so like further from you, you get softer, quieter, closer. And so like, and I think that like applies to adult arguments as well. Mm-hmm. That when you have an impulse to get like big, loud, and emotional, do the opposite. And like you will do so much better in like an argument.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Usually what you see is the people getting loudest are, first of all, the most that are people that have most things to hide and that are usually wrong. People just think you get louder and you can win. So that's usually the route that MTV people go. They try to get the loudest.
I mean, not a shock that they could probably benefit from therapy.
Yeah, that could be fun. Challenge therapy. There's a new show for MTV. So anything else? I'm trying to like scroll through like these the random assortment of notes about anything that may have popped up. I mean, we have Jemmy and Nicole having like a secret hookup throughout the season. That was a kind of a fun little tidbit.
Yeah, that was really bizarre. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble for any thoughts that I have on this topic.
Oh, please get in trouble. That's the best. That's the best things to say.
No, I don't know. I guess. No, this is a bad avenue.
Okay. What about bananas buying like Kaylee roses in their off time and them actually like doing stuff off the show, him and Melissa popping up in his hotel room.
I just think all of it is gross, frankly. Like, I think that, okay, this is my like, this might be an unpopular opinion. I think that like, while everybody should 100% be empowered and there should be like no stigma to make any form of choice, I do think we have all like swung too far in the direction of sort of like Samantha on Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need everybody. I want everybody just to have like more sort of like self-confidence, self-worth, like just like make better choices. I know that doesn't make good TV, but like make better choices.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's a good lesson, Liz. But there's a middle ground. As always, in any type of like swing in arguments, is always the middle ground is usually the way to go. And hopefully one of these days they'll find the middle ground and they'll be happier for it.
Yeah. You know, I just want everyone to be happy, Brian.
It's all we can hope for.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Cara's happy. She took home the $370,000, and this season is in the books, and we're waiting for what the weirdest trilogy that I think they just decided to make a trilogy because for some reason the next season is, I think it was like the final countdown or something final about it. That
it's
it makes,
the final reckoning.
The final reckoning. I don't know how these three seasons are connected other than them telling us that they're connected, but this is the next season's the third in the trilogy, so that's something to look forward to.
I didn't realize that they were even postulating that they were connected.
Yeah, either people are just making that up on Twitter, or that's like part of the previews and stuff. But I know I've seen like this is the third in a trilogy talked about a lot going into the season.
But well,
I don't know what it means.
That's
but
utterly trilogy. Perplexing to me.
Are you going to be watching Champs vs. Stars?
Well, I was going to actually ask you if you'd seen the first episode.
Because I did not. I watched the first edition of that, and like, there's just too much challenge in the world sometimes, and I need these little breaks of just not watching these people.
Fair. I watched the first like 10 minutes maybe where they like introduced the various people.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that Casper Smart was under the stars.
Yeah, that's fun. Who are the other some of the other stars that they have if people haven't even like watched it all?
So Drake Bell is one of them.
Oh, good for him.
Where notoriously, like, Brian, I'm sure you don't care about this, but notoriously there are dick pics of him that have circulated.
Oh, I've heard about it. I keep my finger on the pulse of some of
this
stuff. I know what's
great,
going on.
Your ears to the ground on this.
Yeah.
I personally, like, this is going to sound like a really annoying and like I'm such a narc and such a boring person, but I personally do not like to look at those things because I think that the only way that we can like not encourage that type of violation of privacy is to not look at them. But I do know that they exist, I suppose. I thought he
like released them because it needs to like a GQ shoot or something like that where he was like posing
nude.
I thought that's where it came from.
Complete disaster. Like he is. Yeah. I'm here for the breakdown, and he is he is not well. So I think that this will be good.
Who would have predicted that Josh would have been the more like well put together person between him and Drake after their show ended?
I mean, not I.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And then Cardi B's like Instagram famous sister Hennessy.
I thought you were about to say Cardi B's on this season. I was like, I'm about to like drop my jaw on the ground. I'm like, okay, that,
yeah, no. We're not
that
real.
Makes more sense. That makes more sense.
Yeah. We've got Louise back, the really gorgeous, like mixed race girl with the shaved side of her head.
Okay.
The track, the UK Olympian, who I'm like obsessed with her.
Is what's his name from The Bachelor on? Not Josh Murray. Like, is there someone from The Bachelor on this season or not?
I don't think so. No. There's that first boot from Big Brother, Josiah.
Oh, he's on it, Jesus. Digging
yeah,
deep.
He's also on Final Reckoning.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
More Big Brother people.
Yeah, I mean, I literally know nothing. I was like texting with Rob about, I'm going to do voicemails with him in a minute. And he was saying he'll like sign on to the challenge once Josiah starts. And I was like, who? And so I got educated on that. But, right. He's on it. We've got if you're a football fan, Arian Foster.
Oh,
a good one. Yeah, that's like a pretty good get. A former Cavs player. Who else? Everybody, like the girls are the young girls like Tori and Kayla are freaking out about Drake Bell.
Right. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that was like their teen crush growing up. So that
exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think they like had their sexual awakenings too, Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
Yep. I just really enjoyed. So like they all like introduce themselves and are like, I'm known for this. And Casper Smart has the audacity to say, I'm known for acting, dancing, choreography. And like, when it comes to athletics, I'm very competitive. I have to end up on the top. And I'm like, so no mention of why you're actually famous.
Right. She wants to diversify her portfolio of fame.
Oh my God. Like, all right, let's just like call out the elephant in the room. Like, I dated J-Lo. I was her errand boy turned boyfriend.
I would love to see people actually be like truly honest about why they're famous when they go on some of these shows. Like, yeah, I'm famous because I did like this one like tweet or Instagram post and I did this and that's actually what led me to be famous or whatever. That would be fun to us for people to be honest about it. But
I will say, Cardi B's sister was like honest about it. She was like, you might know me from Instagram or because my sister is like a really famous rapper.
Hey, well, there you go. My wish was fulfilled very quickly. So, I don't know. And you got anything else from the reunion or anything else you want to talk about for the season? Or are we ready to put a bow on it?
I think I'm tapped out. Let's announce the winner.
All right. So congrats to Kara on her win. We'll see if she does well again next season. Where can people find you on Twitter and anything else you have going on that you need to want to let people know about?
Sure. I mean, I'm mildly on Twitter. I'm at Rourke's Tweets. So, you know, you got a different co-host, similar, Twitter handle. And then Revel 12 on the old Instagram, putting out premium content semi-regularly. So,
there you go. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. Subscribe, at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. I think the new season is coming sometime in the summer. So it's probably like July, August ish. We'll be back to cover that when it comes around, so look out for that. Until then, have a good one.